Welcome everyone. My name is Sepide Puyanrat. I'm a PhD student in the DistriNet research group at KU Leuven, and I'm happy to present our recent work about an open source framework for developing heterogeneous distributed enclave application. These days, we built a smart environment that consists of several heterogeneous components, and the application is distributed among multiple components, so all of them work together and exchanging information to each other over an untrusted network. This example could be like a healthcare use case from a smart environment, and you see it contains a couple of sensors from heterogeneous vendors and some cloud processing, cloud recording of data on the other people's computer, and in the end, some healthcare professional might want to look at the data. So how we can make sure the interaction between different components is secure and a professional is looking at the right data and the whole system is kind of end-to-end secure? What we are presenting today is a framework to build secure application based on the trusted execution environment in all of these processors, such that the doctor can be sure that the data they work with comes actually from an attested sensor, and an actuator at the patient's home is guaranteed to only react to an interaction from doctor's computer. And finally, when you build this application, you don't want to worry about the differences in the attestation mechanism or the properties of the communication network. Trusted execution environment is a relatively new technology in the modern processors that allows to run an application in a hardware-protected environment called enclave. Enclaves are isolated cryptographically from the rest of the world to protect code and data from being accessed or modified by other entities. Besides, a mechanism called remote attestation is used to obtain remotely a proof that a running application is loaded inside the right enclave and wasn't tampered at the loading time. In TEE, all isolation and authentication primitives are implemented in hardware. That means your trusted computing base shrinks to the application module and a tiny layer of the hardware. Of course, as a result, the attack surface is reduced as much as possible. So here, on the left system, an application needs to trust its code, the underlying operation system, hypervisor, and the hardware. In this situation, you know, any vulnerability found anywhere in the platform might influence the security of the application. But in a hardware-only TCP system, we can protect an application from a compromised operating system, and we can isolate a single piece of a software so that really no one can interfere with it in an uncontrolled way. One implementation of TEE is IntelliSGX. In SGX, the protected parts of an application are placed in enclaves to be completely isolated from direct access. So the application will create this enclave and only enter the enclave during execution through something like a call gate. So SGX can ensure that non-enclave code cannot access enclave pages in memory. Specifically, a portion of the main memory is reserved for the enclaves, and the enclave pages outside the reserved memory, are encrypted by a hardware unit called memory encryption engine to protect from untrusted system software and cold boot attack. In addition to confidentiality and integrity of code and data, other features are provided by SGX like attestation and data sealing to encrypt and authenticate the data before storing it on disk. Another very common TEE is Trustzone that is implemented by ARM and currently used in a large number of smartphones. In ARM with Trustzone, each of the physical processor cores provide two virtual cores called Normal World and Secure World. Hardware-based mechanism ensure that resources in the normal world cannot access secure world resources. To enforce this isolation, NSBit is used to communicate the security state between components. And to perform a context switch between worlds, the processor first pass through the monitor mode, which serves as a gatekeeper via an interrupt, external abort, or explicit calls of the SMC instruction. And the address mapping in the Trustzone MMU can be configured independently for each world. Also, I/O devices can be dynamically configured and as a secure or non-secure, and for each interrupt, the generic interrupt controller can designate the world to handle it. Another interesting feature in TerraZone is secure boot. That is a change of trust is formed by verifying the integrity of the second stage bootloader and trusted OS before execution. This ensures that nobody has tampered with the operation system's code when the device was powered off. And the last TUE we focus in our work is SanQus. In SanQus architecture, what we need is a simple memory management unit that implements the isolation techniques and a cryptographic unit that implements all symmetric crypto and hashing of operation system. Here you can see an overview of enclaves on this SanQus platform that have a continuous address space. In SanQus, we have a code region that is associated with an enclave, and then we have a data region that is associated with the same enclave. SanQus uses a program counter-based memory access control to ensure that the data of an enclave is accessible if only the program counter is on the code section of the same enclave. Therefore, the only way to enter the enclave is through the entry point functions. And in the case of SanQus, we have a node key that is encoded in the platform, and from that we derive a key that is associated to each enclave. So we basically hash the text section and the address of the data section with node key to derive an enclave key that identifies how an enclave is specifically loaded on the particular microcontroller. Moreover, remote attestation in SanQus is a simple process because the enclave key is only known by the enclave and software provider. Thereby, if the software provider receives an encrypted message from the enclave that is successfully decrypted, we can be sure the enclave is running untampered on a write node. Another important feature provided by SanQus is secure I/O. SanQus uses memory mapped I/O to communicate with the devices. Thereby, to gain exclusive access to a device, it is sufficient to map the data section of an enclave over the MMIO region of the device. So nobody expects the enclave would be able to access the I/O devices. So there are a range of architecture for hardware-based trusted computing. Each of them is platform-specific and comes with a different system footprint. But all of them provide a strong security guarantee like attestation, isolation, and things like that, which is implemented in different ways. That means what SGX is doing is something different from, for example, what SanQus is doing. But the baseline is the same. So you can build upon this guarantee, and you can use that in your system and construct system that are highly secure, even from a 16-bit microcontroller that communicates over the cloud to an end-user devices or something like that. In order to design end-to-end secure smart environment, as I already explained, the data behind our implementation is based on the concept of authentic execution. This framework was proposed by Norman in 2015 to provide a strong assurance of the secure execution of a distributed application. According to the paper, they want to guarantee if an output is produced by the application, it is actually allowed to be produced by the application's source code and physical input event. In this framework, each component of distributed application runs in a trusted execution environment, and thanks to the confidential computing provided by the TEEs and authentication encryption of the data, end-to-end security can be achieved in our smart city. The implementation provided by Norman only support SanQus processors, but this concept can be applied to a generic TEE to support heterogeneous systems in a real scenario. Thereby, our framework provides an implementation of authentic execution that supports Intel SGX, ARM Trustzone, and SanQus to allow development of application in a heterogeneous environment. The SGX part of our framework was entirely written in Rust with a framework called Fortinet Enclave Development Platform. And in order to develop applications for TerraZone, open source OptiE framework is used, which provides a collection of tool chain, open source library, and secure kernel that is implemented in C. And finally, with SanQus tool chain, implemented the SanQus enclave. Our framework aims to minimize the developer's effort as much as possible. Thereby, it automatically deploys the enclaves on the supported TEE and then attests them using remote attestation, and finally provides a secure communication between different components with cryptographic operations. And thereby, it provides the developer an abstraction layer in which they only need to implement the application's logics. So we ensure this framework provides end-to-end security for a safety critical smart environment. And a demo of our framework will be presented now by my colleague Gianluca. Thanks for your attention to me.
Thank you, Sepide, for your introduction. Now I will show you a simple example about how to use this framework to build and run a secure distributed application using Sancus and SGX. A couple of words about me before. I'm Gianluca and I'm a PhD student working on the PhyGhost project promoted by KU11 and Ericsson. My work is about the integrity assurance for multi-component services in 5G networks. So this is the setup of our application. You can see that there are two Sancus nodes and one SGX node, and we have also two input and output devices. We have a button here that will be the input of our system, and we want to perform some operation every time the button will be pressed. And here we have a LED instead, and this LED will be toggled every time the button is pressed. Instead, in the SGX node, we will store the number of button presses, and also we will provide an interface for the deployer and external users to interact with the system and get this value. The deployer is responsible of deployment and configuration of the modules and their connections. The user instead can be anyone connected on the same network, and the user can retrieve the number of button presses by performing HTTP requests. Okay, now we will see the deployment phase of our application. We provide as input to the deployer all the source file of each component of the application called these components are called modules, and also we provide a deployment descriptor, which is a JSON configuration file which contains a description of all the nodes, modules, and connections between modules. So the first step is to build binaries of every module and then send them to the corresponding nodes. On every node, there is a untrusted software which is called Event Manager. This Event Manager is responsible of exchanging events between modules, but also, as shown in this case, Event Manager is responsible of loading the modules inside the nodes. Of course, the Event Manager is untrusted, so we want to make sure that this loading process has been done correctly. And for this reason, we also perform remote attestation. And we want to make sure of, first of all, that the binaries have not been modified during the process, and second of all, that the modules are loaded inside the trusted execution environments. Also, during the process, we will establish secure channels between deployer and modules using module keys. Each module will have a unique module key. After that, now the modules are running and they are attested. And now we will establish the connections between these modules. We take as input the same deployment descriptor as before, and we start with the establishment of this connection. First of all, we establish the connections between modules and I/O devices using the Sancus Secure I/O functionality. After that, we establish all the other connections between modules and between deployer and modules. So here the blue arrows are the secure communication channels, and every event exchanged will be encrypted and authenticated. And here the red arrow is just the HTTP channel between the user and web server, so it's unsecure. Okay, this is an example of the source code of the controller module. And the thing to notice here is that the every module declares outputs and inputs. So a connection between two modules connects the output of the source module to the input of the destination module. So here, with this controller module, we write some special instructions to declare outputs and inputs. For controller, we have two outputs, toggle LED and increment presses, and one input, button pressed. But how to declare these connections between modules? This is done in the deployment descriptor. So in this example, I declare two connections. The first connection is from the button driver to the controller. The second connection is a direct connection from the deployer to the web server. Okay, now I will show you how this works in practice. And if you are interested in this example, you can go to my repository. You can see all the source code. You can see the tutorial if you want to run the demonstration on your local machine. And don't worry if you don't have Sankus or SGX, because you can run just the native version of this example. And also I provide some Docker images. So if you just want to run this example without installing anything on your machine, you can do it. So if you go to my repository, you can find all the tutorials for this. Okay, this is my terminal now. At the top right, I have the SGX node. And at the bottom right, I have the Sankus node. Here I use just one single Sankus node for practical reasons, but the application will behave the same. And you can see here the deployment has been already made. So all the modules are running and they are tested on each node. Here at the top left window, this is the terminal of the deployer. So here I will send some commands to the system. The first I want to send is to initialize the web server. So I will send an output command, an output event for the init server connection, passing as the input, as argument, the port I want to use. So if I trigger this output, you can see here that the web server now is listening to this port. And if we try to reach this web server, we get the number of button presses. In this case, of course, the number is already just zero. But if you want to trigger a button press, of course, you can do this physically. You can trigger the button physically. The problem is that I'm not physically close to the Sankus node, so I cannot physically press the button. And so for this reason, I use another connection to simulate a button press. But notice that this connection is still secured. So we still have the security features for all the other connections. And so I will trigger another output of the trigger button connection. And if I do so, you can see that something happens. First of all, the button driver notifies us that the button has been pressed. The controller has received the remote event from the button, and the LED driver has been turned on. And if we reach again the web server, now we see that the number of button presses has incremented by one. But if we don't trust this HTTP communication, because of course HTTP is not secure, we can perform another request from the deployer side. In this case, I will send a request which is the same principle as input-output connections, but in this case we expect a value in return. So we trigger a request of the connection get presses. And here you can see that we get as response the number one. So in the end, yes, this is working properly and the button has been pressed only one time. Okay, that's it. Coming back to the slides. So in the end, this framework provides strong integrity over the application behavior because we can only toggle the LED if we press the button, and we can only increment the value stored in the database if we press the button. If we don't do it, there is no other way to increment the value of database or to toggle the LED. But we have also confidentiality of the application state and sensitive data, thanks to the trusted execution environments and thanks to the secure communication channels between modules. We don't have availability because if an event is lost during the transmission, nothing happens. So in the end, this is still an ongoing work. And as Sepide said before, we are providing support for Plastron, which will be available soon. But still, we are working on improving the code, the deployment tools, and the SGX side. So this is it. Thank you for your attention. And now, if you have some questions, thank you.